Okay, last week we looked at part A of wisdom, and we looked at the value of wisdom, the blessings that are associated with acquiring wisdom, and wisdom is found in God's word, and God's people are to obtain wisdom. We also noticed that wisdom and knowledge is given by God. And the way we get that is through our praying to Him, through our studying, through our reading of His Word. And we also said that Jesus provided wisdom, the Holy Spirit provides wisdom, and we found some scriptures that indicated that the angels provided some instruction. Tonight we're going to continue with our study of wisdom, and it's a very comprehensive study, and I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg here. We're going to use God's word to understand that human insight cannot comprehend spiritual truth. It has to come from God. We, as Christians who search God's word, who study God's word, who meditate on God's word, we rely on Him. We rely on His wisdom to lead our lives. Also, we are going to look at what Scripture says about wisdom into the spiritual truth about Jesus Christ. For years, the children of Israel in the Old Testament knew God was going to provide a Savior. And when Jesus came on the scene, they rejected Him. But God's wisdom in the Old Testament, the writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, talk about the Savior, talked about Jesus. And we are very fortunate that we have the scriptures, the Old Testament and New, to understand that. Okay. Also, we are going to see that wisdom provides the believers hope and power. We get that from God. And those are His children who have the hope of eternal life. And we have the power that God had given to us through Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. That is so wonderful. We have an avenue to correct our mistakes, to ask God forgiveness, ask God's forgiveness through Christ for the sins that we have. And we all do sin. Also, we are going to see wisdom into the makeup of the church and wisdom into the providence of God. It's God's wisdom that He's sharing with us in His Word. And with that wisdom, it's going to lead us in a behavior that is in a right relationship with God. So wisdom into correct behavior. It's how we as Christians are supposed to live. And with that, we should be looking for wisdom. We should be searching for wisdom. The more important scripture teaches us, we should ask God for wisdom. And as we study the Bible, as we look into God's word, we acquire wisdom through meditation on His word. That is so important for our lives as Christians, to seek out God's wisdom. And the only way we can do that is to rely on him. And as we looked at last week, we used Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And we looked at this in depth. We said, to understand the proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And fools despise wisdom and instruction. So Solomon was pretty smart. We have to have an understanding of what's in God's word. And more important, we're supposed to reverence God. Fear him. And by doing that, that is the start of our journey of knowledge. And he goes on to say further in that particular verse, fools despise wisdom and instruction. I gave an example last week of how we as people, not all of us, but some of us like me, will look at something and try to put it together, put the thing together without even looking at instructions. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we have the Bible as our guide, and we shouldn't discount that. We have God's wisdom in front of us. And his instructions, and we should use that in our Christian walk of life. So wisdom is found in God's word. Wisdom and knowledge are given by God to believers. Again, we acquire wisdom and the knowledge in God's word, and it's up to you and I as his children to dig into his word to see what he wants us to do, how we're supposed to live on this earth. And a lot of times we fall short because Satan is there to tempt us. So Christians are to seek out, study, and apply God's wisdom and knowledge to their Christian walk of life. Bottom line is, you need God in your lives. As Christians, we are supposed to put God first at all times. And also we see that Christians are to use the wisdom and knowledge they find in God's word in order to influence others in becoming children of God. Someone had taught you and I the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. We as his children should also influence others. And the way we influence others by studying God's word, by meditating on God's word, by praying about God's word. But more important, putting God's word in action in our lives, in our Christian walk of life. So with that, the first question I have on our sheets is, why does man not accept the things of the Spirit of God? And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14.
It says they are foolishness to him and he can't understand them because they are spiritual.
Exactly. So man doesn't want to accept the things of the Spirit of God because it's foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. So that's why you have to pray about it. That's why you have to study. And that's why we have all these classes. Not because you want to hear somebody like me teach, But yet we talk about God's word. We share information that we have into God's word to become better Christians, to understand what God wants you and I to do. And that's important in our Christian walk of life. So how will the Holy Spirit guide man? In John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Can I get a volunteer to read that for me, please?
I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you.
Thank you, Carol. So the Spirit of truth, God's Spirit will guide us into all truth. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was sharing with them that he's not going to leave them alone. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is going to guide them. And, you know, when they were listening to him, they probably didn't have an idea what he was saying. But when the Spirit came upon them in Acts 2, they understood what Jesus was saying. And they shared with us through their teachings. They boldly proclaimed God's word. An example that we have to go out and share the gospel with others, what we learned. And it's our learning doesn't take, we don't acquire the knowledge without studying. We don't acquire the knowledge without putting it into practice. We have to do that. And by doing that, you're walking in a right relationship with God. And that's what he expects from his children. And by doing that, you are hopefully will receive God's grace and mercy in the day of judgment. So what is the wealth man receives from God in Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3? Can I get a volunteer to read Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3?
That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Thank you, Di. So Paul is encouraging the saints that the church at Colossae concerning about their hearts being encouraged, because they are in it together. They are together in love. And the wealth that they are seeking comes from the understanding of God's word. Understanding and resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery. And that's Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for not only you and I, but also all humanity. So the wisdom we read in the scriptures came from God so that we can understand what he expects from you and I. We have many examples, which we'll talk about later on in future lessons concerning some of the Old Testament characters, how they stand, they stood up. Some fell in sin, but yet they turned their lives around. That's an example for you and I. When we fall short in sin, we should seek out God's grace and mercy and turn away from those sins. So what do believers derive from God's wisdom in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19? Can I get a volunteer to read that passage for us, please?
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. The sentence finishes in 20.
Right. Well, you can go ahead. Read that also.
Yeah, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places.
Thank you, Sharon. So we see that the hope of his calling. Believers have promised that we will receive an inheritance as his children, as his saints. And the power surpasses everything to those who believe. And believe in Jesus, who sits at God's right hand. How wonderful is that? When you look at chapter 1 of Acts, and I believe it's verse 11, when the apostles were talking to Jesus, and all of a sudden he was raised up to the heavens, and an angel told him, "What are you looking up in the sky for?" Jesus rose into heaven, and he's going to come back again. It must have been an awesome sight for those individuals. And, you know, and when you think about it, early in that chapter, they were looking for a physical kingdom, an earthly kingdom. But God's kingdom is not earthly, as we know. And it's something that I hope and pray that each and every one of us will attain. Eternal life. So the wisdom that we find in God's word is to provide believers, you and I, hope and power. And that's awesome. And by studying God's word, we acquire this. Who is welcome into God's family? And I have two verses that we're going to look at, Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, and Ephesians 3, verses 2 to 6. Who would like to read Acts 10, 34 and 35?
Opening his mouth, Peter said, "I must certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him."
Thanks, Carolyn. So every nation, the man who fears God and does what is right is welcome. That's an admonition to all mankind. And to get this message out, we have to share it with others, as Peter did. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 to 6, can I get a volunteer for that?
"Indeed, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mysteries of Christ.
And down to verse 6.
Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his glory, holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. But be specific that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel.
Thank you. So we see that the mystery of Christ. And he mentions the Gentiles. They are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. It's not just the Jews. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's God's power for all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So it's for everyone. Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. Therefore, they are fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And that's the message we have to share with others concerning God, what he wants us to do. Now, he wants us to make a choice in our lives, and that is to put him first or not. And a lot of times we see people struggling with that because of worldly things are pulling them away from God. We as Christians should show the love and should share the knowledge we have to help our brothers and sisters. When we look at wisdom came from God. We go back to, Joseph in the Old Testament. We see that it's God's providence. And the next question would be, how does Joseph describe God's wisdom to his brothers? Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 8. And I'll read that. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his household and the ruler of all the land of Egypt." So Joseph understood the providence of God. And he didn't blame his brothers for selling him into slavery. But he understood God's providence. He understood God's wisdom that Joseph was going to be able to save a remnant, children of Israel, and deliver them, to keep them alive. When we go through Genesis, we're going to see how Joseph is a foreshadowing of Jesus. But here is Joseph, who was in the land of Egypt, and he saved his people. Look what Jesus did for you and I. He died on the cross to save us and to forgive us of our sins. We also see the wisdom of Job. In Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes.
Thank you, Faye. So we see that Job understood. The Lord provides counsel and knowledge. The Lord will instruct him. And the way he did it back then was he communicated to the patriarchs. How God communicates to us is through his word. So we could derive a lot of wisdom from God's word. We could derive a lot of knowledge from God's word. We could derive a lot of instruction on how we are supposed to live our lives. How we're supposed to live in a right relationship with God. So wisdom also corrects our behavior. I think I have one slide missing here. So who does David? Who gives David his wisdom? And we find that in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 12. Can I get a volunteer for that?
And David realized that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, Israel.
Thank you. So David realized that the Lord established him as king over Israel. So David recognizes Jehovah God, and he has exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people, the children of Israel. So we look at those three examples, and we see that in the Old Testament, people had faith in God. They realized it came from Jehovah God. And as Christians, we derive that wisdom through the Bible. So in what way does the wisdom of God instruct Christians? And I have two passages we'd like to consider tonight. First, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. So wisdom corrects our behavior. And we get that through our studying and applying God's word to our life. Can I get someone to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, please?
For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Thank you, Diane. That's a very powerful verse. Paul is saying that he is praying for the saints here, that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And why is that? Well, we should be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord at all times, to please him in all respects and we should bear, we should be bearing good fruit in our lives and every good work. And we should be increasing in the knowledge of God. How powerful is that as a Christian? And how do you acquire that? Again, by searching God's word, by studying it, by meditating in it, on it, by praying about it, by putting it into your life and wearing it as a Christian. In the second verse in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
And this I pray.
Go ahead. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you, Carolyn. So we see that Paul, again, is praying for the saints at Philippi, that their love may abound more and more in the real knowledge and discernment. That applies to you and I today, that our love may grow, and by studying God's word, we will acquire more knowledge, more wisdom, so that we may approve the things that are excellent. Be sincere and blameless till Christ comes again, and be filled with the fruit of righteousness. And by doing that, we praise God and praise Jesus Christ and give him and God the Father the glory. That is so important in our lives. So why do Christians pursue wisdom? And Solomon describes this in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, chapter 3, verse 21, and chapter 18, verse 5. So wisdom is to be sought. As a Christian, we should be seeking out wisdom. Who would like to read the first verse, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, 3 to 5?
For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God.
Right. Thank you. And so we should be seeking out wisdom. We should lift our voices up for understanding God's word. We should look at God's word and extract the hidden treasures, the knowledge of God in it. And in chapter 3, verse 21.
My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion.
Thank you, Faye. So we should keep sound wisdom and discretion at all times. Sometimes we fall short of that. Sometimes we let situations take over. But as Christians, we should always be relying on sound judgment and discretion. We should always be putting God first. One thing I like to think about when I come up to a situation is, what would Jesus do in this case? We see that in the Gospels, they said he got angry. He was upset. But yet he showed everyone respect. He showed everyone honor. And he didn't turn anyone away. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15, can I get a volunteer for that one?
The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge.
Thank you. So the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. And how do we get that? How do we search and pursue wisdom as Christians? That's found in God's word. And that's why it's so important to keep that on your mind at all times. So how does God give his wisdom to those who ask him? James chapter 1, verse 5. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
Thank you, Anne. So ask God for the wisdom. And we do lack wisdom. That's why we pray to God for it, so that we could make right decisions, that we could show others that we are God's children. And God gives it generously to all without reproach. But you have to ask. We have to pray about it. We have to add it to our lives so that we can grow as a Christian. So what's
hey,
your... Go ahead.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Ever since we started talking about wisdom, I think about Solomon. Wasn't there a time that he said something like, getting too much wisdom? Wasn't there?
Excuse me.
I don't know why that comes to mind. Seems like he indicated that you could get too much. Does that sound crazy to you? Am I just kind of off with that?
No, I believe that he did say that, but we have to realize that God had given him his request. And what his request was, it wasn't money, it wasn't power, it was wisdom. And with that, everything else came to him. And what he did with that, we know his life, he totally wasted it with all his concubines and wives. And he put God away. He turned away from God. So, in
okay,
a sense,
I see sense, that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I can see that now. I can see why he would say that now.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we look at Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter. He says something to that effect. And let me try to get it up. Ecclesiastes 12, starting with verse 11. The words of the wise men are like gold, and the masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is weary to the body. And the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So he understood in his life. But when you look at his life, it completely turned away from God. So in that case, wisdom did destroy him. And we as Christians should be seeking God's wisdom and putting it to our lives. And I hope that helps you out, Carolyn.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Lenny.
Sure.
Lenny?
Go ahead, Carol.
I think what he's talking about is knowledge versus wisdom. Man can collect all the knowledge he wants, but it's worth nothing compared to his wisdom.
Exactly. So when we rely on commentaries, that takes away from us studying God's word. I'm not saying commentaries are bad to read. What I'm saying is we should look into God's word and see what he wants us to do, not someone's opinion. And that's an excellent point. When you look at the Bible, see what he says in other books. See how scriptures are tied together to understand what God is saying. And that's very important. Good questions. Next one I have, we see is what should Christians do to increase in the wisdom of God? And I have two passages from the Old Testament. One is Psalms chapter 119, verses 98 to 100. And then I'd like to look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. So when we acquire wisdom, we meditate on God's word. We pray. We should be praying before we even starting to read God's word, so that we could, when we study God's word, we meditate on what he's saying, so that we could extract the meaning of what he's saying. And we could acquire God's wisdom. So in Psalms chapter 119, beginning with verse 98, can I get a volunteer to read that one for us, please?
Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts.
Thank you. So the writer says the commandments, God's commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Well, when you think about it, you go back to the first century Christians when Peter was writing to those saints who were being persecuted. They kept God's commandments. Even to the death. And they never turn their backs on the Lord. How awesome is that, when, as an example for you and I, that their enemies were persecuting them and they stood up for Jesus? I don't know what would happen if that happens today in our country. But I hope and pray that I will stand up no matter what it takes. And he goes on to say further that your testimonies are my meditation. When we look at God's word, we see that he's talking to you through the scriptures. And that is awesome, that God is communicating his wisdom to you in his word. Now, we get a lot of people, we don't come to class as well, you know, I read that and I understand that. But when you keep on reinforcing it in different classes, even though they're the same books we study different times, we gain more out of God's word. We increase in our knowledge and it strengthens our faith. And that's what he says in verse 100. I understand more than the age because I have observed your precepts. It is so important for you and I as Christians to keep God's commandments on our hearts to where his wisdom on our sleeves and to always keep him first, no matter what cost. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years.
Thank you. So Daniel looked to the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said that the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem will be 70 years. He searched the scriptures. We should be searching the scriptures in our lives. Wisdom is acquired through studying, through meditation, to applying God's word to our lives. It's very valuable to a Christian to keep God first. Make sure he's the priority in your life. I know we touched briefly on this subject, and we could talk many more hours on wisdom. But what I'm trying to get at in studying wisdom is the fact that God's word, his revelation to many of the writers through his spirit had given us the wisdom. And we have the full record to look at and to understand what God expects from you and I. And one thing, he just doesn't want lip service. He wants our hearts. He wants our essence. He wants our souls to be with him. And he gave us a choice. And that choice is up to you and I to make, to put God first or not. That's why it's so difficult when someone says he's a Christian and he's not walking in a right relationship with God. It's so difficult to understand that. Next week, when we continue with our study, we are going to look at the Bible timeline. And the way I set that up is I have divided. We're going to look at some information concerning some information about the Bible, but it's God's standard of truth. And by studying his word, the 66 books of the Bible, it's going to give us a better insight to God. And it's going to be a tool that we need in our lives to increase our faith so that we can walk in a right relationship with God. And when we look at the Bible timeline, I am going to try to share with you my research on how the books were put together. And they weren't put together by the order we have in the Bible, because they weren't written in that particular order. But I'll share with you what I acquired through my research when they were written, so that we could get a better understanding of the chronological order. But when we go through the books after that, I'm going to go in the order of how they are in the Bible, so I keep things straight. Because if I start mixing them up, I'm going to have some difficulties. Are there any questions tonight?